Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast includes graphic depictions of true crime cases and may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Everyone, and welcome to a new episode of We Saw the Devil. This is Robin.
This is Jackie.
And today's episode is a little bit of a mishmash of random news pieces. I know we're all kind of waiting on those custody documents, all 1,700 pages to come out and drop, and the preliminary hearings, and there's a little bit of a lull in the case right now.
I feel like this is more like a remix episode.
Yeah, it's kind of like a remix episode. But
remix.
So what we have is we are coming out with the next episode of our Rewind introductory series on this case. We'll be continuing with Chad Daybell, and that will be coming out over the weekend.
Don't forget about Usuri Rapist, Golden State Killer. What do you want to call him?
We'll be continuing our coverage of Joseph James D'Angelo and his East Area rapist crimes. We have a lot of stuff coming out, but for all intents and purposes, this episode is going to be just kind of random news pieces and interesting things from the Vallow case.
Things that you may not have known.
Yeah, and then just the couple updates that we've had over this week. And again, Chad Daybell coming over the weekend, a profile of Chad Daybell, and then we will continue our introductory series from there, going into Zulema Pastinez and Jason Mao.
Dun, dun, dun.
That being said, before we get into it, we would like to thank our executive producer patrons on Patreon. That would be Tamara, Ilana, Faye, Christy K, Ashley B, Ashley M, Kathleen K, Leanne, Christy R, Shauna S, Amy S, and Iris.
Oh, Iris.
Thank you so much to our executive producers for helping us make this show happen. And for the rest of you, if you have not considered supporting the show, if you like the show, please consider checking us out on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/WeSawTheDevil. We have a lot of different tiers. You can go to our website, WeSawTheDevil.com, and take a look at that as well.
I love the new look of the website.
Yeah, our previous website wasn't doing so hot, didn't have a lot of time to really work on it. So big shout out to the help we have received on our brand new website.
You know, what's really funny about the old website is I was a step away from having Paperclip show up to give you advice.
Yeah.
It was outdated. It didn't work well on mobile. It was like, oh, is this 1998? I think so. Now let me get my little like colorful bubble Mac computer from 2001 in someone's high school or something.
So on our Patreon, we have tiers for as little as $3 a month for a shout out, all the way up to merch, stickers, executive producer status. We also, as of today, guys, started our What Would Oprah Do book club.
I'm so stoked for it.
So again, it is an honor of Oprah, seeing as though she is the number one victim of Chad Daybell's darkness versus light.
She was
celebrity-wise, obviously the children.
She was amazing in A Color Purple. I was actually telling one of the Patreons that she was one of the only actresses next to Bjork to make me sob.
And if you're into true crime, if you like musicals, or if you just happen to like Bjork, if you have not seen the movie Dancer in the Dark, I would say it has some true crime linkages in there. It is if you want to cry, if life has you down right now, quarantine, and you're tired of it, or you just need a reason to ugly cry, I'm talking Claire Danes and Homeland, let it all out. You don't want to be seen in public like that ugly cry. Watch Dancer in the Dark.
I suggest a bucket of ice cream because I love food. Maybe show me your bucket of ice cream while you ugly cry. I mean, I guess that, you know, maybe you don't want to be seen ugly crying, but you can definitely show me your emotional eating.
Yeah, show us your emotional eating. And if you check out Dancer in the Dark, tweet us, drop it on Facebook. If you're a Patreon, drop it there. But yeah, let us know if you watch it and emotionally eat.
I love when people show me their food.
I know, that's Jackie's kink.
Well, I wouldn't call it a kink per se.
Okay, a fetish.
Okay, now we're getting more like a show me that ice cream. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, check out our Patreon. Also, again, all of our postcards have now been mailed officially. So all of our patrons should be receiving their Case of the Month postcards. And for those of you who have not checked your email, please do not divulge which location or state the postcards are coming from. We will, on the 15th, divulge the state and then open up polling for what case you think that we are going to cover. We are also going to drop a clue. And whoever has guessed the case correctly will be getting a $5 Amazon gift card.
Amazon gift card?
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I want to know what people are going to use it for. Like, I want to know what you actually end up buying with that $5 gift card. There's so many random things on Amazon and blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. Although my favorite was on eBay when it had the bizarre section, the bizarre and weird category.
Oh, I miss that.
It was all like haunted chests that people would mail you, or like ugly possessed haunted dolls. It was bizarre.
I feel like I missed out. I needed one of those possessed dolls. I would send it. I want one just to send to people. Mm-hmm. Random unsuspecting people. I just want to pick a random address and find out their name through like yellow pages and just send them a possessed doll and be like, congratulations, you're a winner.
If you guys have time, free time on your hands, because I mean, a lot of people do right now, just go to eBay and look up possessed doll or haunted doll and you will not be disappointed. I promise you.
Oh, it's like that group, the Strange Finds group for
Weird Finds. Yeah,
yeah. Secondhand Finds. Mm-hmm. Weird Secondhand Finds. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They always post possessed dolls for some reason. Everyone's finding possessed dolls at Goodwill and I want to know why. I want to know why everyone is like, I need to donate my possessed doll. Please, I need to get rid of this. Why is that a gift to a charity? Right. Why? That's not gifting anybody.
All right, so let's get into it. As far as this week, there are just a couple news pieces, guys. Justin Lum of Fox 10 Phoenix, as well as East Idaho News. Eric there and then Justin Lum on Fox 10 posted that preliminary hearings for Chad and Lori will be happening in person. Judge Eddins has determined the size of the courtroom that Fremont County allows as far as how many can attend, and he plans to maintain social distancing. Judge Farron Eddins wrote in his findings on Thursday that for both Chad and Lori's separate cases, quote, the defendant has a right to confront and cross-examine witnesses in person. In order to preserve an adequate recording of the proceeding and to preserve the defendant's rights, the defendant must be present in the courtroom with his or her attorney. So, as everyone knows, Chad and Lori are facing felony charges in Fremont County. Chad's hearing is going to start on August 3rd, and Lori's is going to start on August 10th. So we are less than a month away. Guess what, Jackie?
What?
We are officially, guys, 14 days. That's 2 weeks, 336 hours, 20,160 minutes, and now 1,209,560 seconds away from the end of the world.
I mean, the seconds are just counting down now.
I know.
I don't think we're going to make it for the hearing. I mean, how are they going to explain that to the judge, being like, we're not going to make it. We need to move this.
I cannot wait to see Chad and Lori after the date has passed. But, you know, seeing Melanie Gibbs' interviews regarding the end of days, it seems like the date has constantly moved. I wonder why.
Because he's bending the veil. He's bending the will of the universe into his own path.
Yeah. So I just, how are they going to act? Are they going to be disappointed? Is Chad going to come up with some bullshit prophecy? I don't know.
He probably had a near-death experience already in prison, I'm pretty sure.
Probably involving some sort of like hot pocket. There's been rumors that people in prison in Chad's jail have been throwing hot pockets at him. And I doubt that that's true, but I'm really hoping so. So End of the World is coming. One of our patrons created a Facebook event. I know that various other groups have Facebook events as well. We would like to actually do something for the End of the World as well. Maybe like a Zoom party, something like that. So if you are a patron or have interest in becoming a patron, join and let us know. We would definitely like to do something on the 22nd.
Maybe we need to buy party hats.
So secondly, people have been asking why Judge Eddins is now back. If you recall, he's the judge that Lori and the defense team basically dismissed. They got their one free dismissal. Eddins wouldn't lower her bond, although Eddins did actually lower her bond. So when Lori was extradited from Hawaii into Idaho, she apparently came with a $5 million bond and he lowered it to the $1 million, which, you know, she still had no way of getting out. But Lori's team, you know, decided to take the gamble, which is very common as far as dismissing the judge and trying to get a new one. He was dismissed in Madison, and then he was reassigned in Fremont County.
Which makes sense.
And Idaho doesn't have a lot of judges in that area. So welcome back, Judge Eddins. I love his attitude, and I love how he just clearly does not like Chad or Lori. Okay, so other random piece. And we have read, and we would very much like some additional information on this if someone has it. The lead detective on the Daybell case is Rexburg detective Dave Hope. Now, Dave Hope's son is married to Chad Daybell's niece, Matt Daybell's daughter, Maggie. Do you guys think that that's separated enough?
It sounds like conflict of interest to me.
Could it be?
Especially for a detective, yes. You can't have any relations with family.
Yeah, so it's the detective's son is married to Chad Daybell's niece.
Yeah, it sounds like conflict of interest. Anybody within family that connects the family to anybody that is a perpetrator of any sort is just not ideal.
Yeah, I don't know. Are there any attorneys listening? Is that law enforcement agents? Is that common? I mean, I know the area is very small and that there are a lot of connections, a lot of people involved, but could that potentially be an issue down the road? Please let us know. Also, another piece this week. So Court TV today, July 9th, officially noted that police now consider Lori a, quote, investigative lead in the death of Charles Vallow, which they've been doing that unofficially for a very long time now and going and investigating that. But apparently now today, the police have officially called her an investigative lead. It seems like everything is open for investigation. We have Tammy, the children, Charles Vallow, but to my understanding, Joseph Ryan's death is still closed. It's not being investigated. At least last I heard from Annie Cushing's post that her brother Joseph Ryan's case has not been reopened. So I wonder if that is true or not.
I have a feeling that a big cloud is brewing on the horizon when it comes to this case right now. And there's a lot of evidence being collected and stones being turned over. And I think we're going to find out soon.
Now, this is a massive case, and I really do appreciate that law enforcement is taking their time and collecting and going down every rabbit hole and looking at every piece of evidence. Speaking of suspicious deaths, does everyone remember initially when this case first started happening that a lot of people focused on the divorce attorney, on Lori's divorce attorney's death and how he died randomly when she owed him money? Annie Cushing is doing a really interesting series on Twitter. And one of the most recent things that she posted is some updated information. So remember initially in this case when it first started happening, people were talking about the divorce attorney that ended up dying.
Yeah.
That Lori owed a lot of money to.
It's not a weird coincidence.
Isn't it, though? So his name was Edwin Terry. Edwin Terry was the Austin, Texas divorce attorney. And apparently, he died in 2006 of a heart attack. Now, does that sound familiar?
Oh, no.
And Lori owed him a considerable amount of money due to that nasty divorce and custody battle with Joseph Ryan. I wonder. A lot of dead bodies seem to turn up around Lori when there's money involved.
I'm going to say there's no coincidences, but it's very suspicious to me.
I want to know of Alex Cox's whereabouts in 2006, right around the time that this man died.
I want to also know, you know what? I want to explore another avenue when it comes to Lori Vallow, especially when it comes to these consistent heart attacks everyone's having around her.
Cardiac events, heart attacks. The most important piece, I think, is what we are all waiting on, and that's Tammy Daybell's autopsy and toxicology report results, because I think Tammy, above all, especially considering it was reported that she had the pink foam coming out of her mouth. I believe that same thing with Alex. He had some pink foam coming out of his mouth. We have Joseph Ryan, who died of a supposed heart event. He wasn't found until days later, almost a week later. And he was so decomposed that he was just immediately
written off as natural causes.
Natural causes and cremated. We have Edwin Terry, the divorce attorney who died of heart event. So one of my biggest questions is going to be, okay, a lot of these people around Lori Vallow's circle are dying of heart events or clots. So what kind of things can cause that? There are a metric crap ton of drugs, chemicals, poisons, whether natural or synthetic, that can cause these things to happen. So I don't think Edwin Terry is going to be investigated in relation to the Lori Vallow case. But, you know, and again, the confirmation bias comes into play because look at all these other crazy people who have died around Lori. And then here we have another one that Lori owed money to.
I guess it's kind of hard to tie someone in.
Especially since it's been so long ago.
Yeah, that's my thought process, is that it's been so long ago. So how can you tie it in right now?
Right, exactly. I mean, there's no way. But I mean, I'd say that we can at least add it to the list of suspicious deaths in the circle of people.
Are they going
to
kill people in 14 days?
Alex is gone, so I don't see how they could.
I mean, we can't blame everything on Alex, can we?
I'd say so far, it seems like it's a lot of Alex. A lot of Alex is doing, but we don't know. Still waiting on information, and guys, waiting is the hardest part. So with Alex, my understanding is that he had some plaque. He had, you know, some blood pressure issues. He was a truck driver, to my understanding. So the stress, and obviously he was involved in the children in some capacity. I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibilities that he had a cardiac event.
Here's what I think. If you're not a shitbag, maybe your heart will be better. Have a heart and you'll have a heart that works. Yeah.
Have a heart so you can have a heart that works, guys. That's like advice to live by.
You're welcome.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So another big piece is we have, and we're going to post it on YouTube after the release of this episode, we have video of Chad Daybell from a Preparing a People conference. And this footage was on Preparing a People's Facebook page before it got taken down and nobody else has posted it.
Recovered artifacts of Chad Daybell.
Recovered artifact of Chad Daybell and Preparing a People. Please go to our channel. It's just look us up. We Saw the Devil. You can go to our website, wesawthedevil.com, and there's a link to our YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. But we are going to post this video on our channel. And, you know, it's not of any great importance. It's not Chad talking about his beliefs, but it's really eerie to see what kind of a person Chad was. You know, you see Chad a lot, you've read his books, but you don't really see him talking or speaking at the PAP conference. That's what I'm having such a hard time reconciling in my own head. He was not charismatic at all. In fact, he seemed like kind of the nerdy kid, you know, who was really awkward around women, who didn't have a lot to talk about, and he has zero charisma. His jokes are dad jokes, and I don't understand the draw that people said that he had, you know, preparing a people of vow circles. Like, I cannot get it.
Maybe it's because he is kind of nerdy looking, you know? Maybe it was,
he felt safe.
Maybe they played Magic the Gathering. Maybe they played Dungeons and Dragons. Maybe they realized that tabletop was for him, and maybe Hot Pockets was his deal in his mom's basement, but he never lived in his mom's basement. So I don't know.
It's just really odd. So definitely check out our YouTube channel for that. It's just really eerie seeing Mr. Potato Head himself telling some crappy prepper joke.
I'm really upset that he has access to Hot Pockets in jail. I think he should be deprived of that.
Not so much upset over the Hot Pockets, because Trino's pizza bites are far better. So I would take pizza rolls over Hot Pockets any day.
Do they have pizza rolls?
I don't know.
I'm about to put myself in jail.
Undercover journalism, guys.
Me gaining like 50 pounds in jail sounds great.
Alrighty. So another piece. Nancy Grace, and I know, and we hear you guys, we got the comment, you guys don't like us crapping on Nancy Grace. I have to say, I'm not a Nancy Grace fan at all. However, she did have 3 interviews over about the last week and a half, and she did a great job. I wanted to be like, where did Nancy Grace actually go? Because this Nancy Grace in front of me, it cannot be the OG.
See, the thing about Nancy Grace is that she's passionate about law, and she lets that passion flow through her and kind of comes out as kind of this really weird place of sensationalism. And
Well, she is also fueled because she's had such a tragic life, which I do feel for her, you know, her fiance being murdered and, you know, all of this stuff. She has so much anger in her, and I totally get it. I just don't like her interview style, guys. I feel like she talks over, she's condescending, she talks down to a lot of her interviews. However, the last 3 that she did over the last week and a half were incredible.
I feel like she listened to me. I feel like Nancy Grace was like, you know what? That girl's right. That lady is right about me. I need to calm my titties. And I think that she put a titty sling on. She's like, I'm calming my titties for this one. I'm gonna make some people happy. I'll say this about Nancy Grace, though, is that I do like the aspect that she's very passionate about her her experiences because of the death of her fiance and everything that was involved with her that inspired her and fueled her into becoming who she is today.
Right.
This interview was actually her series interview, right? It was kind of like a series of different people that she had interviewed pertaining to the Lori Vallow case, cult mom, as she would say.
Cult mom Lori Vallow.
I'm cult mom right now. Yeah, it's fine. You know, she can say that. That's fine. Because, you know, honestly, that kind of touches base on how crazy it is. So she can say it in the crazy way. I'll accept it this time, Nancy Grace. I think she did a phenomenal job and that she actually kept her composure.
She did. She would ask questions and she let people fully speak. And then she had follow-up questions and she was incredibly respectful. So tonight, we are going, for this episode, we're just going to cover her interview with Charles Vallow's attorney, Taylor Lawson. Now, Taylor Lawson is the attorney that Charles Vallow went to initiate divorce proceedings against Lori Vallow. Taylor was a great interview. He seemed to really care about Charles and his plight, and he had a lot of really great information from his side of things. So he starts out and he basically explains that Charles was scared for his life when he went in to visit him. And he pretty much came in and was like, my wife said that she is going to kill me. And so they initiated the divorce proceedings and then also started an order of protection. Now, something that I wasn't aware of is that they tried to add JJ onto the order of protection, but the court wouldn't allow it. Charles was afraid that she would take JJ. And this is, it's so weird. Lori Vallow tortured Charles for like the last year of his life. I mean, all of these games, she emotionally and verbally tortured Charles because everyone knows, you know, she would tell Charles one day that she hated JJ, that she didn't want anything to do with him. He was holding her back. And then Charles ended up, because she was acting so psychotic, Charles was afraid that she was actually just going to take JJ and that something would happen to him. You may be asking, what about Tylee? Now, Charles never actually officially legally adopted Tylee, so the court had no jurisdiction over Tylee whatsoever.
Oh my God, poor Tylee.
Again, poor Tylee. I've been saying this from the very beginning. Tylee got such a raw effing deal in all of this.
She got shafted, man.
Majorly. Taylor Lawson then goes in and he talks about how hard they tried to serve Lori Vallow with the divorce paperwork. As you know, to file divorce paperwork or any other type of suit, you have to use a process server. They sent a process server to her house, to her parents' house, to her sister's house, to Hawaii, to her friend's house. They even sent a process server. Lori checked in. This is literally how manipulative Lori is. And I think it gives great insight to how manipulative she is. Lori used Charles Vallow's credit card to book a hotel in Boise for an avow event. They were like, okay, this is where she's going to be. Lori Vallow never went to the event.
It's crazy. It sounds like they sent it from the window to the wall and there was no...
Yeah!
You couldn't serve her. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they could not serve her. They were never able to actually serve the paperwork to Lori. She was just nowhere. And they literally chased her. Like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? It was, where in the effing world is Lori Vallow? They could never find her. But that, I think, gives great insight to Lori that she literally used Charles's credit card knowing that he was watching the statements and her movement and then never went to the event, costing him, again, more money. So
what an incredible human she is.
Right. Astounding. So Charles ended up actually withdrawing from the divorce because he kept holding out hope. And Taylor Lawson kept saying, you know, Charles kept saying, this is all a dream. I'm going to wake up and my sweet, beautiful Lori is going to be back again. She is in the middle of a mental crisis. She needs help or medication. And I'm holding out hope that one day she's going to come back to me.
But I feel like that paints Charles Vallow in a good light. That, like, this is a good part, like, a good side of him was his love for Lori.
Yeah, it was his love for Lori. Now, do not get me wrong. And I think with a lot of, this is just a side note, kind of little tangent. A lot of information has come out regarding Charles Vallow, of him assaulting the wife of his attorney. Charles Vallow also cheated on his first wife. I do not know if Charles Vallow cheated on Cheryl Wheeler, but, you know, that saying, once a cheater, always a cheater, is usually fairly true. People can be complicated. And I think that when it comes to criminal cases, right, people always like to paint the victims in like an angelic white light.
Yes.
And we all have to remember that people are people. People are complicated. People have good traits, bad traits, great qualities, poor qualities, and they are complicated.
I think that the nicest people commit the worst crimes sometimes too.
Yeah, no, it's true. I just want to point that out there because there's been a lot of chatter recently about how Charles was a crappy guy. Well, who cares? Guys, people are complicated. So we have to, you know, consider everything about them. So Charles ended up withdrawing from the divorce because he had hope. He was completely in love with Lori. Taylor Lawson even seconded that. And he was like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, she threatened your life. And Charles was vehement and adamant about, no, she just needs help. She needs support. You know, I'm not going to abandon her and leave her. She just needs some support. He also drops the nugget that Lori had been into near-death experiences and had one in Hawaii. Ever since Lori had an NDE in Hawaii, she became a different person. She became obsessed with near-death experiences, and she started going down the rabbit hole of books and podcasts. Now, that is where she discovered Chad Daybell.
See, I have some doubts that she even had a near-death experience. She probably just got the wrong, like, order at Starbucks.
Right.
Let's keep it honest.
And then had a supposed NDE. I do not know. She loves attention. I mean, it's been verified by everyone who's ever known her is that she loved attention. So what better way to get attention than by being like, I had a near-death experience myself.
No, or I saw this something, you know, meaning I saw some saint or ghost or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Some sort of spiritual experience.
So Nancy Grace asked Taylor Lawson, why do you think Lori wanted Charles dead? And he listed off a couple reasons. He said, number one, 100% life insurance policy. And that's because the way that all went down is Charles felt like Lori and Alex were together, like basically were up to something together. And Charles Vallow went to his attorney and said, look, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to deal with Alex Cox showing up and killing me.
So, that's rather a terrifying thought.
Yes. So as they were in the middle of trying to serve Lori, you know, Charles was telling him his fears. And Taylor Lawson advised Charles to change the life insurance beneficiary. Charles did, called him back, I believe it was like a week later or so, and said, dude, someone called and added a password to my account. Remember, we've already covered this a couple months ago, how the email, Charles's emails came out about him, from him emailing the life insurance company and having to verify his identity and all of that. So, yeah, so someone called in, claimed that they were Charles, and added a password onto the account in an attempt to change the beneficiary. Someone said that they were Charles. So obviously this had to have been Alex.
You think it was Alex?
It had to have been Alex. If a man called in and tried to change the life insurance policy, I mean, who else would it have been but Alex?
Could it have been Chad?
It could have been Chad for sure.
But your instincts are saying Alex. Okay.
And Charles told his attorney as well that if he died before he could change it, that he wanted it changed to Kay Woodcock. So not only did he say this to the life insurance policy people in the email, he also told Taylor Lawson, his attorney, if I die, if they murder me before I change this, please make sure that Kay Woodcock is my beneficiary. And that's so incredibly sad. Can you imagine what level of terror that man was living in? I mean, he also knew. Now, don't forget that Alex Cox had already attempted to most likely murder Joseph. He was already a convicted felon. He had already stun gunned him in the crotch, and all of this had already transpired. He knew how dangerous Alex Cox was. And then he goes to his attorney and is like, my wife is threatening to kill me, and I believe that she and her brother Alex are in it together. He was terrified.
Well, nobody was going to protect him. He knew that.
He tried. He tried so much to get help and protection from the police and everything else, and the entire law enforcement of that community failed him.
Well, I mean, who's connected to Phoenix PD? I'm just saying.
Jason Mao.
Oh.
Who was name dropped when Lori had to go into the police station for all of her abuse of Charles. Jason Mao.
Of course. Of course it's Jason Mao.
So Nancy Grace then asked him, you know, why do you think, knowing all of this, why, and they were still broken up, why do you think Charles Vallow went to Lori's house on the day that he died? Because don't forget, the attorney, Taylor Lawson, said, well, Charles loved JJ so much, and he wanted to spend some extra time with him. He had planned to pick JJ up for breakfast before he dropped JJ off at school. So don't forget that Alex said that Charles hit him in the back of the head with a bat, and then went to his room for the gun, came back, and then shot him in the chest. Lest we not forget, and the attorney again brought this up, that we now have two stories. You know, we have the one where Lori Vallow had already taken JJ outside to take him to school. And then we have one where Lori Vallow was in the kitchen the entire time and witnessed everything. But regardless, Lori Vallow did in fact leave, and she got into Charles Vallow's rental car. Remember that? So Charles Vallow, her estranged husband, pulls up into the driveway. Shooting happens, and Lori got into Charles Vallow's car, left, and came back with Tylee. Another piece of information that I personally have not heard, and I don't know if this is out there or if I'm just missing it, is that Lori had actually referred to Alex in the past as her, quote, destroying angel. So when Lori kept threatening Charles, and say that she would kill him, she would always say that she had, quote, an angel there who would take care of his body.
Do you think Alex is an angel, a destroying angel, nonetheless?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that's pretty clear. That's a pretty clear reference to Alex, right?
I mean, we can speculate.
It was just, if you haven't, the interview itself is about 27 minutes long, and it's actually very, very good. Now, she also has an interview with Julie Rowe, and then another one with April Raymond, Lori's friend from Hawaii, which we'll be covering that on one of our next episodes, those two interviews in our next episodes. But the interview with Taylor Lawson did have some little tidbits here, and I found it to be a great interview overall. Otherwise, Nate Eaton, everyone's wondering what's going on with Lori in jail. We've heard that she went in hysterics when they found the kids dead in the backyard. We've heard that she doesn't care, that she's just sitting in her cell praying constantly. There's not a lot of information about Vallow in prison. So Nate Eaton went on 97.1 ZHT and they asked him about her, you know, how things are going. And he replied and said, quote, she hasn't been able to speak with Chad for 3-4 weeks now. She's been distanced from him. They spoke every day for hours when she was originally arrested back in February, March. I mean, they would have video chats for hours on end, and he was telling her stuff that wasn't necessarily true. I mean, he was telling her lies, that the public supported her, that this will all soon be over, and that she would overcome this. Then he gets arrested and communication is suddenly shut off. It could be the fact that here she is, removed from him, and she goes into the courtroom and sees her son face to face on the screen, Colby, and they're talking about her children, and maybe it was a flash of something there. And he said this in reference to her potentially crying in court. Nate Eaton seems to think that she was actually crying when she was showing emotion in court.
Do you think maybe it was like her narcissism to believe that people supported her?
That's a great question. And now she's realizing that everybody hates her. I don't know. She's completely cut off from the public world for the most part.
She's not of this world. I mean, she's in another universe.
Completely.
She's in another closet.
Mm-hmm. She's another portal.
She's just portal hopping.
But I found that really interesting, that tidbit from Nate. Not because of the crying piece. Like, who cares if she cried or not, to be honest with you. But the fact that Chad was there the entire time telling her that everyone was behind them. Like, are we serious? Woman, you are the most hated person in America, probably second to Casey Anthony.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe how many piles of bodies are around her, too.
a lot.
I'm really scared. My biggest fear of all of this is that she's not going, the justice for these people that she potentially killed are not going to be looked into.
Well, here's the thing, right? As far as her defense too, so let's say that no murder charges ever are added onto this. As far as her defense, people are saying, well, hey, what about the insanity defense? Well, Idaho actually technically does not have, legally speaking, the insanity defense.
What?
That so many people talk about. They would have to approach it and say that she's not fit for trial psychologically. They would basically have to create an argument saying that she's not fit to have this trial and then, you know, go and have her submit to a lengthy psychological evaluation. And they would even try to get her fit so she can go to trial.
I don't think that narrative would work for her because she's gone through psychological evaluations and she passed them.
Yeah, she's already been through a whole handful, it seems, and passed them. So I don't think that's going to be an option. So I wonder, is she going to turn against Chad? Is Chad going to turn against her? Are they both going to come together and try to pin it on Alex?
I think the plan's been to pin it on Alex the whole time, hence why he's dead. That's my honest
opinion. I concur. I think they took him out just because, you know, dead men can't verbally talk, although evidence can.
Evidence, you know, always speaks, science always speaks.
Exactly.
I think that I'm hopeful that the toxicology report is going to reveal something on Alex, because I still don't believe the story that he just suddenly dropped dead inconveniently.
Right, exactly. Is it possible now that she doesn't have Chad there, you know, feeding her support and making her feel better, you know, the love of her life has now been arrested, is she going to crack? Is she going to realize, oh shit, I'm by myself. I have nothing now.
Well, sometimes they have jailhouse informants that try to make them crack too.
That's true too.
So we'll see. I mean, they're definitely going to have a jailhouse informant try and sneak in on her to get her to like omit information about what happened.
And then, you know, she doesn't have Melanie Gibb anymore, her best friend for so long
that we know of.
Yeah, who knows? But that's, I found that to be a really interesting tidbit as well. So again, guys, not a lot has happened. Again, like you, we are waiting on the custody documents, all 1700 pages between Lori, Charles Vallow, and Joseph Ryan. We are waiting the results of Tammy's toxicology reports. I mean, not a lot is going on right now.
The race is on to see who can read that many pages that fast.
Right?
It's not going to be a Harry Potter novel, I'll tell you that.
It's going to be a really, really interesting read. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Everyone should be getting access to that here shortly, and then it's a race to the finish line. But other than that, again, just to tie this up, we will be continuing over the weekend with our profile of Chad Daybell, his books, his background, where he's going with that. And then we're going to continue up to Charles Vallow's death. We will be doing profile pieces on Zulema Pestinas, as well as Jason Mao, and go from there. So please stay tuned for our introductory series on all of the players in this game.
And I can guarantee you more information is going to come out soon. I feel it brewing on the horizon, so stand by.
And then we will continue with our series on the East Area Rapist. So we have a lot of stuff coming, guys. You can find us at patreon.com/WeSawTheDevil. You can also get there from our website, WeSawTheDevil.com. We have our book club. We have live streams. We have discussion groups and case of the month postcards where you get physical stuff from us. So,
and sometimes we have some mole stuff to drop.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sometimes we do have some special info drop. Check us out there. Again, if you have any questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, you can email us at info@WeSawTheDevil. No longer Gmail, it's info@WeSawTheDevil. And finally, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel and subscribe. We are dropping, as of right now, guys, after you finish listening to this, we will have that video on YouTube.
Lost but found footage of Chad Daybell doing dad jokes.
Bad dad jokes at a preparing a people's conference.
And he's not even you can't even say it's a dad joke because that's like in poor taste. I think that's really poor taste. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's it for this week, guys. A lot of stuff is coming over the next couple days. If you haven't, our last case was on the horrible, horrible tragic death of Vanessa Guillen. We discussed that case and we will be continuing coverage on that as more court dates and more things transpire there.
Absolutely.
So that's it this week, guys.
Until next crime.